Any president in our history cast so long a political shadow as FDR?
I don't think so. I think George Washington, in his way, was a model for those who came after him. Jefferson was, Jackson, Lincoln. Even in FDR's generation, FDR was himself, of course, distantly related to Theodore Roosevelt, and he'd worked in the Woodrow Wilson administration, and he often thought back to Teddy and to Woodrow Wilson.
But Jackson was his hero. I remember FDR spoke often of that great old spirit in the White House, and had a lot of that Jacksonian spirit in him, or so he thought.
That's right. Franklin Roosevelt had a keen sense of Andrew Jackson. He spoke at Jackson Day dinners for the Democratic Party, and he once told the story that when Andrew Jackson, Old Hickory, died, people asked whether he was going to go to heaven. And the answer was, he will if he wants to. And Roosevelt says, when people ask me, well, are we going to get out of the Depression? My answer is, if the American people want to, they will.
Harry Truman said later that he felt the sun and the moon and all the stars had fallen on him when he learned of Roosevelt's death. That Roosevelt legacy was a pretty heavy thing to fall on a man like Truman, wasn't it?
It was. It was hard for the American people, when Harry Truman became president, to think of anybody else as the president of the United States but Franklin Roosevelt. And there was no one for whom that was harder than Truman himself. Many months after he became president, he wrote to Eleanor Roosevelt, I never think of anyone as the president but Franklin Roosevelt. Truman was always being measured by him, and it was a very tough act for him to follow.
Roosevelt was a tough act to follow for Dwight Eisenhower, too. Ike didn't like FDR personally and tried to move the country away from his New Deal programs.
But at the very end, Eisenhower still thought, as he said at the end of his memoirs, that his place in history would be determined by what history thought of FDR. If history in general kept thinking that the age of Roosevelt was a good thing, that the New Deal was the wave of the future, his position in history would be small. But if they turned away from Roosevelt and the New Deal, then they would see his presidency not as an interruption, but as the start of a new day in American history.
In 1960, the race for the Democratic nomination narrowed to John F. Kennedy and Hubert Humphrey. Humphrey saw himself as the rightful heir to FDR.
But that's not the way it turned out, as you know, because what happens is that Jack Kennedy invites FDR Jr., the spitting image of Franklin Roosevelt, into the West Virginia primary. In one speech, FDR Jr. says that my father and Jack Kennedy's father were just like that. Notion that astonished those with long memories, but had considerable appeal to the voters of West Virginia. And on the basis of campaigning as a New Dealer, Jack Kennedy, for the first time, identifies himself with FDR, carries the state of West Virginia, and is all but home free in winning the Democratic nomination in 1960.
Would you say that of the men who've held the office since Roosevelt, the one who felt closest to him was Lyndon Johnson?
Oh, yes, I think so. Lyndon Johnson idolized FDR, and FDR in turn regarded Lyndon Johnson as his pet congressman.
One of the things that most amused me in your book was FDR's remark about Congressman Johnson. I like that young man. I'd have been just like him if I hadn't gone to Harvard.
That's right. Yes, that's right. If he hadn't had the limits of a Harvard education. That's true. And then Johnson, in turn, on the day that FDR died, was obviously stricken with grief. He said about FDR that he was a daddy to me always. And when Johnson took over, he surrounded himself with advisors from the Roosevelt years, adopted programs that were based on the New Deal program. But he always had this competitive view at the same time that he admired FDR. In 1964, on election night, a reporter came up to Lyndon Johnson expecting to find him excited, delighted by his enormous victory over Barry Goldwater, and instead he found him out of sorts instead, testy. And he didn't understand it, and then he found that what was happening is that that Lyndon Johnson was constantly calling back to Washington to find out how his margin compared to that of FDR's in 1936. Because he wasn't running against Barry Goldwater, he was running against Franklin Roosevelt.
What can you say about the relationship, if any, between Roosevelt and Richard Nixon?
Well, the impact of FDR on Nixon was not great, certainly with respect to program, because they differed markedly on that. But Richard Nixon lived in the Roosevelt era, so he understood the immediate impact of Roosevelt on the lives of people at that time. But when he first runs for the House in 1946, he runs as an anti-New Deal, an anti-Roosevelt Republican. And in 1950, he does so again against Helen Gehagen Douglas. One of the interesting things about that campaign, when Nixon runs against the very liberal Rooseveltian Democrat Douglas, is that one of the people who campaigns actively for Helen Douglas is Ronald Reagan. And there was a...
Really?
Yes. In fact, there was a thought of making Reagan the honorary chairman of Helen Gehagen Douglas's campaign, but Helen Douglas's advisors thought that his reputation was too left-wing, and that might hurt her chances in the campaign.
Now, the next Democratic president who came along, Jimmy Carter, wished, didn't he, to reduce the imperial presidency that Roosevelt had created to something much smaller.
Yes, that's right. When I started to write the book, I expected that Jimmy Carter would have felt a very strong presence of FDR, because Georgia was FDR's second state. In many ways, he regarded it as his first state because of all the years he was down in Warm Springs. And there were ways in which Carter, at the outset, did attempt to build on the model of FDR. You remember that he started the campaign in Warm Springs, Georgia, surrounded by some of the Roosevelt sons, even the accordionist who played with the tears in his eyes at FDR's funeral. And then he was later to give a fireside chat over the power question and the energy issue in the model of FDR. But it never really took. There's no sense that Jimmy Carter really had a strong sense of what Roosevelt meant to millions of Americans, to a whole generation of New Deal liberals. In the end, I think that cost him in the 1980 campaign.
What can you say about this current crop of Democratic candidates for the presidency? Is Roosevelt's shadow on them?
Well, the front runner is clearly Fritz Mondale. And he has said that Roosevelt was a household god in the Mondale home. And Mondale is so much in the Roosevelt tradition, in the Roosevelt shadow, that he almost doesn't have to do anything. People understand that he's basically a New Deal liberal, always has been, as was true of his sponsor Hubert Humphrey.
Really, if you stop to think about it, there are echoes, at least, of FDR in the speeches of every one of these Democrats. Isn't that so?
It's really extraordinary, isn't it? And of course, Ronald Reagan, the man who now has the lead in the polls, is beyond all others the one who is able to capture those echoes best. In 1982, we had the 100th anniversary of FDR's birth, and I was at a luncheon at the White House where Reagan spoke. He came in and full of good cheer, at the end of the luncheon, lifted a toast to Happy Days, the FDR theme song, and he said that FDR first gave him the sense of the majesty of the office that he now holds. And he recalled the first time that he ever saw Roosevelt, in 1936 in Des Moines when he was a radio announcer, and he said that there was such a feeling of emotion that went from the crowd to Roosevelt and back again, a feeling of affection that we did not believe we had in those dark times. And he talked, as he's talked to numbers of other people, much in the spirit of a Democratic campaigner attempting to get yet another term for Franklin Roosevelt.
And all the time sending anti-New Deal legislation up to Capitol Hill.
And all the time sending anti-New Deal legislation up the hill. He finds Roosevelt a model for him, not only because he carries these memories with him, but he remembers FDR as the man who took his party, which was a minority party, and made it the majority party for the next half century and more. What Ronald Reagan would like to do is turn that around, make himself the new FDR, but of the Republican Party and of the conservative cause. And for that reason, too, Franklin Roosevelt is his model.
Do you suppose we'll ever get FDR out of our systems?
I think that the immediate impact of FDR on a Harry Truman, on a Lyndon Johnson, people who actually saw the man in the flesh, that is obviously going to go in a relatively short period of time. And yet there are so many ideas of Franklin Roosevelt, especially the notion that the state, the national government, can do something useful about the problems that confront us, and that there are people in our society, there have been, there may always be, who are neglected, and that the national government ought to be compassionate toward them, ought to be inventive, innovative, in thinking of ways to be of help. That tradition, I think, will last.